Welcome back to the Esquire Q&A podcast. You might recognize our guest from his hit YouTube show It's Alive on Bon Appetit, but he's recently gone solo and started his own YouTube channel. We're going to talk to him about his favorite dishes, the culinary world, and most importantly, we're going to find out Brad's favorite thing to pickle. Without further ado, here's my interview with Brad Leone. This is a wild question to start with, but do you remember the first dish you ate that got you excited about the next time you were going to have that meal? Like, what's your Anton Ego and Ratatouille meal where you can just eat it and you're like back to being a kid again?
It'd probably be maybe a couple of things. You know, I'll give you one of my dad's dishes and one of my mom's that, like, it'll always, especially theirs, like, there's just something, you know what I mean? It's just that it'll always bring me back to that. Is my mom's eggplant parmesan, which is like a baked dish with mozzarella and fried eggplant. It's wonderful. And she marinara, like tomato sauce. And now she always did a really good job with it. And it's just something I always enjoyed, and it like lingered, you know what I mean? You kind of ate it for days, and it was even better like a few days later and cold, you know. And then my dad, he always made a jambalaya, which is almost like a, are you familiar with the dish? Or
yeah, is it Cajun?
Rice, shrimp, and you make like a big pot of it. It's like a Creole dish, and shrimp and chicken. Sometimes he would put pheasant in there and sausage, like a smoked andouille. And it was just, he took pride in it. He made really, did it really well. It was probably the best thing he makes. And those always kind of bring me right back to, just like kind of core memories of like when being a kid and food. It's amazing how smells, and recently I've been having that experience with smells where they could like, you smell something. I was with my wife in the store the other day, and it was like a big stupid store. And like we walked past something, and it reminded us both of like going back to school when you were younger, like in September, like you would go back to school. And for some reason, it was just like triggered, brought us both like right back to that time period. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's like what's so cool about it. I always say like nostalgia is like my favorite thing to feel. And like having parents that can throw down in the kitchen is like a real privilege. And I know that your dad was into like vegetable growing when you were young too. Is that what like shaped your passion in food? Do you remember when you started to get like obsessed with it?
Yeah, I don't know if I was ever obsessed with it, but like having them both cook and, you know, garden, just small yard garden stuff. I don't know if it certainly helped, and I'm sure it helped put, you know, some type of an indentation in my mold, you know, in some way. But it was never like a job. I guess just the importance was distilled in me of having like a meal with your family that, you know, that you prepare. Like it's like you were saying, it's a beautiful thing. It's a privilege, and I try to do that with my kids now. You know, we dinner together as often as possible.
Yeah. It's really cool to see you like nerd out about things like fermentation or even like your signature knife collection with Lamson, or like that little salt box that you made with your buddy, Jay Kenji. Even to the public now, cooking is like a beautiful art form to people. But I feel like there's some real like sticklers in the food world that are particular about stuff to a condescending degree. Like, is there anything that you do in the quote unquote wrong way because it's the right way to you?
I mean, probably.
Like for me, like if I could give you an example, if I'm making like chicken parm, like I want to go like chicken and then cheese and then sauce instead of the sauce and then cheese. Is there anything you're like, no, like I want to do it this way, regardless of like people being like, no, that's not how it's done?
Probably sourdough bread. I make bread. I go through little ups and downs of doing it, but I really love it and I get a great product. But I think I do my Well, it's working, so like whatever. I think I'm very untraditional, I would say, maybe in my folding and kneading kind of application, but I think it gets the job done. I think there's more than, one way to skin an orange.
I mean, yeah, especially with sourdough, I feel like everybody has an opinion on that now after the pandemic, thanks to the internet. But the internet has really like lowered the barrier to entry on like the fact that you can enter the culinary space without actually having to go to culinary school unless you want to actually work in a restaurant or something. Do you have like a fond memory or story or lesson from culinary school that makes you happy that you went?
It opened the door for an internship that eventually led to me getting a job. Other than that, I don't know. I didn't really like school. Like I didn't like high school that much. I mean, I liked it, I guess, but like, yeah, like I don't know. Like even going to the culinary school, I didn't really. I don't know. I guess I couldn't tell you one thing right now I remember other than always having to like finally like make perfect squares with potatoes. Like I that kind of stuck with me. I don't know, there was something about that that like I enjoyed doing. But other than that, they show you how to cook something once and then you move on. And that's not how I learn. I don't think that's really how anyone learns how to be a better cook. But it opened up a door for me, which was, I guess made it all worth it. The gamble worked.
I'm glad it did. Yeah, like I said, like I'm calling you from Dubai, and it's really known as a food city. Like I'm Indian, and some of the best Indian food that I've had is right here, and like you could even get like solid pastrami too here, as well as the obvious like fantastic Arabic food. For you though, like what's some of your favorite food cities or towns that you've been to?
I mean, I always love New York. I kind of thought I was just in Chicago. That was a great food town. Both Portland's, Oregon, and Maine are wonderful food towns. I've had a great time with. I mean, LA, everywhere it seems to have their gems, some more than others, but yeah, I'm not too picky, but those cities have been great to me. Europe, places I've gone in Italy a little bit that were always awesome. South America, I mean, everywhere I go, you kind of find, I still think of the, oh God, what are they called? Sorry. When I was in El Salvador. Oh God, I'm like having a moment. They're like is it pupusas? Anyway, they're wonderful and they're everywhere. And like, I can't get them around here. And it was like a very simple food there, but they're just absolutely incredible. I still, oh God, I wish I had one right now.
Yeah, so do I. You're making me want one. Pupusas. So like with your YouTube, like I've really enjoyed it, 'cause in the online creator world, you see a lot of people really sticking to what works for them, like sticking to the same formulaic thing. But watching Local Legends, I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that it was really different to like the BA stuff that you did. With that show or like the channel in general, can you talk to me a little bit about how the ideas come to you? Like, how'd you end up covering the Marching 100 in New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a big fan of music, and always I just like, what I love about that show is that I never wanted it to be a food show. I wanted it to just be a human show, a show about stories about people's passions and lives and worlds, and music or art or food or gardening or whatever, fishing or someone who makes clarinets, like whatever. I bet we can find a good story in it, especially if they're an interesting and cool person, and not just talented. But yeah, I mean, then to answer your question more acutely, when it came to New Orleans, my editor, Emma Hobson, she is her family's down from down there, and she's used to live down there, I do believe. And I think she pitched the idea about it. I mean, I knew about marching bands and Mardi Gras and the big music scene down there, and culture. Just it was my first time down there, but she pitched it, and it was incredible. I mean, it was the least performing video on my channel, but I thought it was I loved the story. I wish I could do it over because I learned a lot since then. But yeah, Emma got the Hobson. She pitched the topic, but I wish I did it over. I kind of screwed the audio up, I should have hired a local sound guy. I didn't. It's my fault. We couldn't, a lot of the really good parade music on that episode, we couldn't use because it was blown out and didn't sound good. And I didn't want to give a disservice to the band because they sounded incredible. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I want to just do different ranges of people's passions, you know, and that's kind of where I love, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love cooking and the show making it is awesome. And I love projects and talking to a camera and having guests and cooking stuff and fermenting and learning. And it's a beautiful community, but I really do enjoy going out and making the travel human, you know, human shows.
Yeah, I wouldn't beat myself up about it. Like I said, I really thought the video came out great. Do you have
Well,
any
thank you.
music recommendations? Like maybe like a top three from like the year, like just something that you'd want to put our readers onto?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a big Dead kick always. You know, Grateful Dead's always kind of going in the family or in the truck. Nick, a cat named Nick Shoulders, I'm always playing. I like that. He's a really, really cool artist. Amen Dunes. I always kind of play. You know, I listen to a lot of the same stuff there. And then there's a band. I gotta get better at names. I'm not even gonna say it because I'm gonna butcher it. But yeah, that band. And yeah, that's that's kind of where I've been at. Yeah.
Yeah, those are pretty solid recommendations. Which you should pull a Delaney and just make like a Spotify playlist or whatever for all the people to look at.
Yeah, I think I got one. I don't know if it's like a public, it's just like stuff I've added to over the years. I don't really like promote it or.
It seems like the show like It's Alive was the like a catalyst for a lot of people's pandemic obsession of like fermenting things. Like I said, a lot of people went like the sourdough route, but like if you stumbled upon like one of your videos, you were for sure like washing jars for like a big batch of pickled something. Like I know I definitely was over the pandemic. But what was your like pandemic hobby or obsession that got you through? Was it like the fermentation and music?
Yeah, I mean, getting out of the city kind of helped. You know, I have two kids, and we were, you know, it was a lot. You know, just kind of working from home. You know, you can only do so much. You know, especially, you know, I don't know. It felt good. I think saving us, Scott, was getting out of the city. But I would say, answer your question. I mean, I was lucky. I had a backyard where I was living before I left the city. I was in Jersey City at the time, and we did a lot of gardening out there, a lot of vegetables in just like buckets and planters and stuff like that. And that was great. And yeah, we were fortunate. There was a park, and you know, I think it was actually closed, but we would sneak in and I would let the kids play. You know, and it was yeah, it was weird for everyone, but it was, you know, it could have certainly been a lot worse. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, I have to ask you this because and this is Esquire Middle East. What are your favorite like Middle Eastern dishes or products?
Well, I love like seedless pepper flakes, like a marasba beer. You know, like they're oily. They're not too spicy, but they're. I think they're. It's just phenomenal. I
I'll
mean, most of the breads I've had from any like solid. You know, I love. I forget what a paratha. I love a good paratha. Oh God, like a nice light, like flaky. Paratha. I'm a sucker for bread. I'm a sucker for good rice too. You know, like a Persian rice. Like Middle Eastern, they guys fucking nail the rice. You know.
Yeah, I expected you to for sure say say za'atar on there as well, because you seem like a
Oh,
big.
I think that's hard, man. I mean, I pronounce it correct. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. I put that. I mean, I wish I. It's like my favorite. It's perfect. A nice heavily oregano one with some sesame seeds, a little sumac. I know it's probably di I think there's, you know, there are different variations of it in different regions, if I'm not mistaken. But that's what I'm pretty fond of.
Yeah, nothing better. Being on YouTube now, you're like a free agent. Are there any like collabs you want to do soon that you'd like to call out or put into the universe?
Oh, I guess I should watch more so I had more people to. I mean, yeah, hopefully. I mean, there's a few. I mean, I would love to make another video with Matty Matheson. I know he's a busy fella. But who knows? We might one day. Babish, we're binging with Babish. Andrew Ray, we were chatting about doing a video. Anyone? I mean, and there's a what's that guy's name up in Canada? Laurent. We were hoping gonna do something together. I mean, I'm into anyone. Anyone can reach out. Let's do it, man. If you got a good story or a good recipe or a good whatever, yeah. I mean, it's an open door, you know. That's kind of where I shine, is with other people anyway.
I love it when you get together with Matty Madison. Did you see him in the Bear? He killed it.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's a monster.
Okay, not to put you on the spot or anything, but like, have you ever thought about your last meal? Like, what would you like to go out on, like death row style?
Ooh. You know, maybe just like a big bowl of pho or something. Like a half a gallon. You
Oh yeah,
know,
you
with
could.
like a pound and a half of noodles, you know, just a ton of shrimp or whatever kind of meat, and just eat it till I want it. I feel like I'm gonna die, and then just do it.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to go out.
Maybe it'd probably be something like that. Love soup.
Yeah, I'm a big soup guy too.
What about you? What's gonna be your last meal?
Damn, I mean, we'd probably be here all day, but I know for sure there's gonna be like fried chicken on there, some kind of fried chicken. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
Delicious.
another big question for you. What's the best pickle? Like the best pickled vegetable that you love to eat.
Oof. I mean, can't beat a good cucumber, man. Not to be old plain Jane, but love a pickled cucumber.
All
And
reliable.
oh, reliable, man. But honestly, oh, I mean, radishes are good. They smell a little, but they're tasty. Onions, you know, ramps. I love a good pickled ramp. Pickled, heck, I mean, anything. I love it. Heck, you can pickle just about anything, huh? I mean, they're all pretty good.
Yeah, and
Not to give a bland answer.
no, that's great. I mean, come on, you can't go wrong with the cucumber. In like where I'm from in India, we do like lacto fermentation of like just like green mango and like a salt water brine, and it's you put like some chili peppers in there too. It's like
Woo.
fantastic. Yeah.
And is it chopped up mango or what's the end product? Is it like a paste?
No, yeah. So it's like it's chopped. It's just like big chunks of like green mango that you like put in a salt
Skin
brine and
on or
stuff.
no?
Skin on, yeah. I feel like if you took the skin off, you could probably get more of like a that bouncy like radishy texture. But it's nice with the skin on. It kind of flavors it in a nice like vegetal like
How
way.
long do you ferment it for?
You
Depends.
I've probably like. Probably like yeah, you could. It's like good to start eating in like a couple of days, like 3 days, in like just room
Okay,
temperature.
cool.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, that's really good. Or another like Indian thing is like, you ever had like a I think like a rose apple? Is that what they're called? Like they're not apples. They're like those kind of oblong red fruits,
Yeah, I
but.
know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those if you get we get like baby ones that like grow on the trees, and then yeah, we put those into like a salt brine with some chilies again. Those are so good. They're so good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Heck
just
yeah.
giving you a couple pickle ideas if you wanna try them out.
Yeah, I've been doing. There's these things called autumn olives. I think they might also be called Russian olives. I call them autumn olives, and they're invasive, but they grow here. And they it looks kind of like an olive tree, but they have these little bright red little berry, like almost like little like olives, but they turn red and juicy, and they're delicious. And those pickled are really cool.
Yeah, like the rose apple too, like the brine gets sort of like the color of the skin. It's awesome. Oh, this is just like a question that I have for anybody in the food world that could answer it for me. Like, what is a bay leaf bringing to the table? Like, is that just big bay leaf? Did they just convince us to put it in like throw it in sauce years ago? Like, what? Tell me what it's doing there.
So I'm so glad that you asked, actually. So there's types of bay leaves, right? There's the one that's in my mom's spice cabinet, that's probably older than you. And if you look at it, it's going to turn into powder. You could throw 35 of them in your sauce. That's not going to do too much, but if you, I grow them, and if you can buy, them fresh bay leaves, bruise them up a little. They smell like, to me, it's like they're almost like sherbety, like an orange sherbet. They're so aromatic. I absolutely love bay leaves. They're one of my favorite, like, aromatic. It's not an herb, but like, we'll just call it an aromatic. I couldn't. I wish I was getting paid by the big. I don't think there. I think I am the big bay people. I'm the only one lobbying, I think, super hard for bay leaves, now that I think of it, that I know of anyway. I'm sure there's others out there. And if you are out there and you're reading this, you can reach out to me, and we can express our love for bay leaves together. Do
Come
you
on.
not like bay leaves?
I mean, I've never like tasted what it's doing to like a sauce. Like I'll throw it in if it's in a recipe, but like you're saying, I probably, I'm just putting in like 18-year-old bay leaves in there that aren't doing anything. I'll get some. I don't think I've ever had fresh bay leaf. I bet that's like a completely different
Yeah, they're
experience.
actually they're not hard to find in the States, really. But like I said, I grow them too, and I use a bunch of them. They're awesome. I've made ice cream bases with like a ton of it, and it's man, it is. It's a very, like, you put it in a big, huge, thick, rich sauce or something, and you put four of them in there. You'll get a little aromatic to the nose or something, maybe, but like it kind of gets lost in the sauce. But if you use it as a little bit more like a simpler palate kind of range, it can be, I think it does bring a lot of flavor. And check it out if you can find them.
I definitely will. Brad Leone, once again, dropping dimes of knowledge on the youth about food. I really appreciate
Yeah.
that.
Well, cool, man. Hey, great chatting with you, and appreciate your time.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.